other day. You guys whispered that to me. The Transportation Committee, April the 29th. You will please come to order. Let the record show that Representative Mike Miller, Representative Phillips, Representative Herman, Representative McBride, Representative Boud, and Representative Tito are here. First of all, for the record, I want to say that I'm glad to be back, but I do want to thank Mike Miller and the rest of you, and particularly Mike, for the continuation of the work of this committee while I was gone. I understand there weren't any gigantic problems. Mike handled them beautifully, and the committee just kept right on, which makes me feel a little bit awkward, or might make me feel unneeded, shall I put it that way? No, I just am tremendously pleased with Mike and with the committee. This morning we have before us House Concurrent Resolution number 10, the Whittier Access. I think Dr. Fritz is going to be here a little bit later. You've already heard some testimony on this bill. The Whittier Access has been around for a long time, so most of us should be fairly familiar with the situation. But we are set up for a conference call with Gene Kulawick in Anchorage, and so perhaps we better have your questions prepared to ask him. That we'll try to get through to him.
Do you know where the cousin comes? You're online now with the legislative teleconference call for House Transportation Committee meeting.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the committee is about ready to begin.
We are. I can barely hear him. The committee has come to order. Mr. Kulawick, you're there?
Yes, I am.
We're on House Concurrent Resolution number 10. By the way, this is Betty Cato speaking, Chairman of the Transportation Committee. Let the record show that Barbara Locker, Representative Locker, just joined us. Would you like to talk to us a little bit about the Whittier Tunnel and the Whittier Access on Concurrent Resolution number 10? We would appreciate it.
Yeah, that's funny. I've talked a couple times with the DOT personnel, go ahead with it.
Yes, would you please, Gene?
Okay, now, on the, I can add to the memorandum that Bill Roberts said. One thing we, in looking at the study, coming from Anchorage towards Whittier, the road, we feel the road around the first tunnel is viable, and that's probably the way to go. Now, the road in lieu of the second tunnel, or the Whittier end, would be practical only for summer travel situations, is our comment. We drove the pipeline tunnel over there in 1967 or so. We had a portal on the Whittier side, and it was an added structure. And we had up to 80 feet of snow over that portal structure. And, we feel it was the heavy snow and avalanche risk, or the avalanche risk would probably be intolerable. He couldn't live with it. And, then the proposition or alternate of widening the tunnel and, traffic through there, we don't feel, or we believe it's, the current ownership, not very much is the federal government let us name it widen railroad to help us for traffic. They wouldn't let them put in the pipeline tunnel, or put in the pipeline in the railroad tunnel like in 67. I guess because of the danger of maybe pipeline rupture or something. Spent a lot of money drilling another tunnel, major undertaking for that pipeline. So when it could have been, we think it could have been done through the railroad tunnel. And then another problem with widening the railroad tunnel was during the construction of it, it was particularly difficult, and you certainly have accidents, but then tunnel operation, you normally work three shifts, and without interference, however, maintain railroad traffic, we probably have to work on two shift basis with the third shift cleaning up and repairing any railroad tracks or tie damage. And then another thing, of course, is the schedule of railroad use dates there is unpredictable. Boils down to when the barges come in, and you've got to move freight, and the railroad has to write them.
Yeah, Gene?
Yes.
If I might ask you a question or two, I get from your comments, the consensus is that you don't feel that as long as the railroad is under federal control, that they would participate in paving or in widening the tunnel and using that as an access. If the tunnel were paved, and this is a two-pronged question, and I'd like to get your expert opinion on it. If the tunnel were paved, would there be need? Would do you think that the railroad would cooperate? And also, would there be need for a special ventilation system?
Okay. A couple things enter into here, and we believe that with the ventilation system here, you'll have to have a ventilation system in place there that clean the air, rail traffic and automobile traffic. Of course, the amount of ventilation system required would depend, of course, on the amount of usage. And now, if you pave the tunnel, one joint usage, then I would convenient to have one-way traffic, and then it would have to be monitored. Or control, have to have some system of control. I don't know whether it'd be like or whatever. Depending on the traffic, I mean, it's possible that you have to excavate additional rock out to get and it's ducting through the tunnel. It's a tough question to answer because it's kind of high traffic down through there. And you got that space here, the ventilation system. Then you also have the problem in the wintertime cutting off the water infiltration and the icing goes into the tunnel. Something has to be done with water control. I can't give you a definite. There'd be some design considerations here that we just don't have access to.
Yes, Gene, thanks a lot. The way I garner it, to some extent, then we would if the route should be to pave the tunnel, we would have the problem of traffic control, water control, and ventilation.
And icing.
Then, what I'm curious about, particularly in as much as you did a great deal of work when you did the pipeline tunnel, what, in your opinion, would people do when they got to Whittier with the small amount of land that Whittier owns as far as taking their boats down and putting them in unless Shotgun Cove was developed?
Well, I think you probably, the better the access, the easier it is to get there, the a lot more traction. I think that the traction would be limited to something.
Well, one might spur the other. If the access was there, very possibly they'd get Shotgun Cove for it so they'd have moorage for boats.
It could probably follow. I hadn't considered that. So. And I've been thinking about the tunnel here. What might happen otherwise, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't mean to spring it on you, but it was one thing that that I was cognizant of, the fact that the city itself only has 29 acres of ground, and every area of the 29 acres is filled.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you're going to either have to go on or some ferry system or something that has to be done.
Fine, Gene, thank you. Now, if with your permission, I'll ask the committee to ask you any questions that they might have in mind. Are there some committee questions? Anyone have anything they'd like to ask? Mr. Kulowick, he's contracted with Peter Kiewit and worked on the tunnel and this sort of thing. Obviously, there aren't any questions from the committee. Just a moment. Do have one. This is Mr. Representative McBride.
Would you perceive that there'd be a lot of maintenance costs once one or both of the tunnels were done, or do you? I guess you could go by what the maintenance cost is on the railroad now.
Okay. The thing that would happen, I think, if you went, when you do install the ventilation and maybe even a water control pumping system, you'll have the more the facility you'll have, the more maintenance you'll have. I think some of the types of installation you're putting in are pretty much standard. And run relatively trouble free. Large fans. Not inventing something new, especially on the shelf or would think that the policy can depend on how far you go with the tunnel design. You have a lot of water coming through. You can do the grouting and reduce the water.
Thank you.
Representative Szymanski has a question.
Gene, I assume that perspective you looked at on it was primarily just from the tunnel, but I mean I notice in the one of the correspondents in here that there appears to be a lot of concern that the existing tunnel could not be used, and I assume the primary objection to the existing tunnel is the fact that it would be co-utilization with the railroad. Assuming the co-utilization of the tunnel with the railroad was set aside, is there a way to do it? And I guess from your perspective, I looked at it, or I should say, from listening to the last time we had a teleconference on it, they discussed the ventilation, icing, lighting, the management of two-way traffic, primarily restricting it to summer use operation, and if to do it, they talked about putting a new road bed in, the subsurface drainage and maintenance effort that would have to be mounted on it, mm-hmm. And then obviously again getting back to the management of it, traffic scheduling. I mean, did you look at it from just going in there and doing a strictly short-term summer operation?
Well, we looked at it. Number one, you have constructability and problems there. And then put it in depends on what you build. If you're going to widen it and go in there with burden, and you can, as far as one of two things, while you're building the thing and then while it's being operated, so get the thing built, and then you can have both entities in the tunnel, I think, without any problems, both the highway and the railroad, and have convenient barrier that would be that big of an and ventilation system first.
Is he breaking up for a moment?
That's
no,
possible.
He is.
If it's possible to do it, it would work fine.
What he said was if
and
it was widened side by side with the median.
To the temple, railroad, and traffic.
Gene, to get back to what you're talking about widening the tunnel, would this be, how close would this be to be building a new tunnel? And secondly, has your company given any thought to merely paving it rather than widening it and building a road through the same tunnel?
Well, we looked at the paving and the, it certainly is very possible to do it. It's proven out here. It's a lot of job. You can use the railroad tracks or the one way fence, the railroad tunnels, railroad bridges. It's been done. I think up in Healy and other places. So, with the railroad acquiescence and insofar as the summertime, have the icing problems and all that. Really, you can boil down to how much is the water control you want, and then you have your traffic control, and then the thing that I think you'll need when you put both entities in there, highway traffic, railroad traffic, have to have some of the positive ventilation system in place of the hamlet, and have some lighting. Now, we have lots of information are being assigned to name. What would it take to do it? Because,
you know,
et cetera.
Gene, can we get you to speak a little bit louder? You break up coming through.
Okay. Well, the only thing that we could see is you'd have to have a ventilation system and lighting.
Gene, do you have the exact length of the tunnel? Almost all, everybody here on the committee has been through there, but we're not sure about the length of the tunnel, with the exception of a couple people.
Well, I remember looking at the thing. No, I don't have the exact length of my
finger.
I don't have the port here. So, I remember it was something like a couple miles.
I think you're correct, Mr. Armstrong. From DOT just said that it was 2 miles.
And the thing is, of course, you got traffic. You can't go back to traffic count on utilization, but the buildup of monoxide, oxygen gases. Got a lot of air to move there. I think it's fairly consistent to move it. When you drive through tunnels, pulling 48, or maybe you don't see it because a lot of the tunnel is a false ceiling, and there's just an awful lot of big fan ductwork and insulation that move the air. Get out, you're by the tunnel to walk in. There's good wind flow. So,
Gene, you just need a key word with me. Because Whittier is in my district, I go there a lot. And one of the things that the people in the area have told me is that there would be no need for a ventilating system in the tunnel because of the fact that the wind is strong enough to disperse all the gases and things like that. To me, this has been kind of a fallacy. I was wondering what your opinion on it was.
Well, I guess it probably is that maybe that condition exists at times, but I would think that one thing we talked about with Dick and Dean is when you get the situation where your atmospheric pressures are such that the wind, there's no wind through the tunnel, and you've got to close the tunnel or have the ventilation. If a lot of traffic goes through 2 miles, I think 2 miles of tunnel is pretty bad, pretty fast. If you don't have a positive ventilation.
Right. Thanks a lot, Gene. Let's see if there are any more questions for anyone. There aren't any more questions. We appreciate very much your expertise and knowledge, and for your being willing to meet with us this morning.
It's my pleasure. If you have any questions any further, you can contact me. Dick knows how to get a hold of me, or want to go further, I'll get hold of our tunnel district manager again.
Okay, real fine, and thank you very, very much, Gene. We thoroughly appreciate your cooperation.
Good, thank you. Right. Bye.
All this gadgetry drives me up. I recognize that you had a hearing on this while I was gone, and in reading over the minutes of it, that you've covered to some extent, and Mitch, of course, is familiar with it because of the teleconference hearing that you held in State Affairs with the people of Whittier. I think one thing I want to say here, there's no doubt that the desire for Whittier access is needed and wanted. I think we're down to the problem now of how to get it. And there seem to be some alternatives. Let me tell you a little bit about, and I've been working on this for 3 years, and let me tell you a little bit about the city of Whittier and a couple of things that they foresee as a problem. They want the access, very, very definitely. And they recognize a road through Bear Creek would be virtually impossible. Even in the summertime, the winds are so bad through Bear Creek, you can practically pick your car up and set it somewhere else. So it might be a partially viable summer route, but it would definitely not be a winter route at all. If they made a road around, the railroad would probably discontinue its passenger service to Whittier, and then in the wintertime, the people of Whittier wouldn't have any access out of town. So that's a thing to think about. Another thing is that one reason for the access is for people to have access to the harbor. At the present time, there are 291 people on the waiting list of the Whittier Harbor for boat slips. And one alternative that they're considering is not only the enlargement of the small boat harbor right in Whittier, but also the development of Shotgun Cove. Well, DOT has had an appropriation to do a study for Shotgun Cove Road, if I'm right, Dick. And, in fact, I think that study is done, is it not? Shotgun Cove Road study is finished, and it needs monies for construction of the road itself. Am I correct on that point?
Yes, I didn't come prepared with it.
Yeah, but I'm sure that I'm right on that. This would take the prevailing traffic then, if they went roadbed, over to Shotgun Cove, which has natural slips, and would take the pressure off the small boat harbor. When I made a statement a little while ago about Whittier having 29 acres of land in the municipality, this is what they have. And right at the present time, if you go down there, you'll find that there isn't even a place to dry dock your boat. That all the land is taken up. It's the darndest thing you ever saw. You never saw such a small city. And, I mean, all the land is taken up. The spare land you see is either federal land, railroad, or the pump station. Except for the exception of 160 acres, I think Representative Lindauer owns. I think he told me that a couple days ago.
Donate that to the city.
right.
I just wanted to bring you up to date on those factors. As I said, there's no doubt that there's a needed Whittier access. There's a need for those people to get out of that place in the wintertime, too. And now they have trains on Monday, Wednesdays. And, well, they get out either two or three times a week. Representative Abood?
You know, I'm looking at all of the alternatives we have in here, and there isn't one of these alternatives, with the exception of a couple, that will do anything for the city of Whittier in less than 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, I don't know, somewhere through there. in addition to that, the methodology of doing it is going to be a long time in just figuring out what direction, what alternative is necessary to do anything with the problem at hand. So the problem at hand again this summer is going to be even more pronounced. When each summer goes on, it will. Until the engineering can be done, the money's found. Drilling holes through mountains is very, very expensive, whether it's a drill or it's blasting or anything. So I would just throw it out here on the table for the committee to look at, that maybe, keeping this in mind too, there's no question that we need that down there. But one of the questions is to do something about it now. Why can't we go as a committee and write a letter or do something to really put the pressure on the Alaska Railroad and the Department of Transportation to get together to resolve some of the problems with the transportation problems there. In other words, let's go to the railroad, federal government, and say, look, we want 3 trains a day, if that be the case, or something that will go back and forth in and out of the tunnel, not necessary to Anchorage, but just from that stretch so they can offload their automobiles and make that place more accessible through the very thing that we've got there and the only thing, which is the Alaska Railroad, and really put the pressure on them to do something. Now, I know you're not going to be able to drive cars down through there, but at least you'll be able to get more trains or more something on an everyday basis, even through the winter time. But why should we continue to sit here and not put the pressure on them to let the railroad do anything they want to do and put 2 trains a week or whatever they do? Let's up the damn thing. Maybe subsidize the federal government if necessary. We're going to spend money. Let's give them some money to operate it a little bit more often for the people down there.
Representative Szymanski.
Well, I'd like to ask Dick, you've been on the hot seat.
Dick, take your chair at the end of the table, would you please?
Oh, yeah.
For the record, would you state your name?
Richard Armstrong.
And?
Director, Department of Transportation, Public Facilities, Anchorage, Central Region.
Well, Richard, let me ask you kind of a, what the intent of the resolution was that Representative Fritz put forth, and that I sponsored with him, and I think Representative Barnes also sponsored several others, was that we looked at the paving of the good old the railroad along the road down there, back and forth, up and down the Seward Highway routine. We said, why can't we just go in there, redo the roadbed in that tunnel, if we can work out a traffic deal with them? But I don't see anybody, I mean, every time anybody talks about that, nobody wants to talk about that simplistic approach. Now, is that simplistic approach not realistic?
I think that the cost of the paving would be almost incidental to the project. When you compare the ballast replacement, the drainage, continuous lighting, ventilation, and a security method of control of traffic to ensure safety, all those, in my opinion, and I haven't really studied any great depth, would be far more expensive than just paving the roadbed, because there's so much more involved in it with safety and.
I was going to say ventilation, lighting, drainage, are all going to be in any tunnel you're going to stick in. I mean, unless you guys figured out a new tunnel that doesn't require all that, but I assume they're all going to be integrated in any tunnel. Now, I don't know, have we put a price tag on what lighting, ventilation, traffic control, and paving would be just to go down there, redo the roadbed for that 2 miles, and done it? Because everything I see so far still keeps leading toward, we want 2 lanes, or we want to cohabitate the tunnel simultaneously with roadbeds to expand, put for meridians, and so forth. I'm trying to put it in the simplest terms as possible, that there's, my understanding, only about three to four shuttles a day that run through that tunnel, maybe more than that. But what people have been saying is that there are places in this world where they do run one-way traffic through to make the morning traffic, then they run trains back and forth, and then they run another run of cars back in the afternoon, then they run trains back and forth or something like that. Is that totally impractical?
No, I don't think it's impractical at all. I guess what we're saying, and at the last hearing, we mentioned that maybe the best way to go, if the committee wants us to get into it, is to fund a study so that we can really look at how much ballast we have to change. Do we absolutely have to have ventilation, or is there always enough atmospheric difference to cause the wind to clean the tunnel out? How much will it cost to get the lighting? Where are we going to get the electricity for it? I think there's so many of these things that, in essence, it would be just off the wall, and it ought to be studied throughout the summer so that next year we can go back and say, this is what it would cost you to do it, and this is what we would have to do, and then do all the coordination with the railroad.
Richard, would it take you all summer to study the last study they did, which is October of 81?
Did that study go into
final
design
for
ballast and all that sort of thing? I don't think it did.
I don't think it did. Yes.
I guess I kind of think in terms of something even more simple. Like the authors of the legislation were looking for the most simple way of getting people in and out of there. Have you considered some sort of trolley car or bus that runs on the rails to get people back and forth?
Bud cars have been talked about. One thing, though, they need access with their automobiles.
Oh, you want to get cars back and forth. Okay.
Can you imagine buying your groceries in Anchorage and leaving them in Bear Creek and getting on a shuttle and trying to get them to your apartment up in Biggie's Towers?
Well, your car would be on the other side, just like it is right now. I mean, I noticed when I went over there that some of us went on cars, but a lot of people just rode past.
Yeah, and they were primarily tourists. But the people of Whittier themselves take their cars right from Whittier into...
Okay, so you would have to run some sort of shuttle bus that would carry, that would pull something that had cars on it.
I would assume that you would.
It looks to me like you're just talking about millions and millions and millions, and so maybe there's that much traffic. You could put something that utilizes what's there, the rail.
Increased frequency of service would obviously be the cheapest.
To me that that's the cheapest.
Fastest alternative.
Matt?
These two studies, just a moment. These two studies, this last one was done April 15, 1982, and I confess that I have not studied the study. But I wonder, when we talk about studies, and you mentioned this, another study, that maybe this information is in these two studies. Surely it ought to be if they're talking about Whittier access, wouldn't you think?
I think that was a feasibility study to look at all the available options, but it wasn't a design that would tell you exactly how much it would cost
study.
To pick one option and design it and be ready to bid it.
Yeah. Mike?
Well, I was just going to say, if we had 29 acres of land and you're going to open up the tunnel for Anchorage, where are you going to put them all?
Well,
that's one of my prime problems. Yeah,
there's several hundred acres of railroad land over there, and Lindover's got 106. I mean, there's a lot of acreage over there other than that's strictly muni land or city.
Yeah, that's that municipal land. However, you cannot get the usage, Mike, of the railroad land. They have tried many times.
Well, they may not be in business for much longer.
Well, this is true, but it's going to be another year or so. Jack?
Has anybody looked at, and I think Representative Abood touched on it, I see here that it says the initial service level would have a total capacity of about 350 vehicles per day and 2,100 passengers. If you put a road in, would the railroad be able to compete? And so if the railroad couldn't compete and was going to shut down anyway, then you need to consider eliminating the railroad and put the road through the tunnel. Does that make any sense so far?
I think the railroad would probably continue to compete for freight. I don't know how much freight they put through there and or petroleum oil lubricant products, but
I might be able to answer that a little bit. The barge system comes into Whittier and a tremendous amount of containers go through on the railroad. I don't think the railroad would always compete on a freight system. I don't think they would ever drop the railroad per se. We were talking about subsidizing. We do subsidize at the present time the Federal Railroad as far as the passenger service is concerned. The state of Alaska does some subsidization there. And but the railroad would compete as far as their freight is concerned. And one thing that Mr. Kulwick said, which we can bear out, and that is that you never know when those barges are coming in. So when the railroad gets a sign that the barge is so far out, then they schedule a train to go down. But it's primarily on an unscheduled basis because you don't know for sure. I mean, you know within the day or two, you know what I mean. But you don't know the exact minute that the barges are going to come in and be ready to unload and go on in by rail on in. So it's basically the freight is an unscheduled type situation, which would mean control if we went through the tunnel on a passenger basis. You'd have to have either people there or lights or something like that.
And then I had a comment ahead, to make. I don't know if anybody remembers when they go through that tunnel and consider it all for a passenger car, even a one-way thing. That tunnel, sometimes you can just stick your finger out the window and you'll be touching the sides. And I'm sure it'd have to be widened if you was going to consider running an automobile or a truck through there.
I'd like to express my view on that. And just pave the tracks, there's room enough. But to build a road side by side, as Mr. Kulwick said, with a median in between, to me, it'd be just like building a brand new tunnel.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see how you'd get around it. I just don't see how you get around it. Then you'd have probably a wrecked railroad bed when some of that blasting brings some of that rock down. So I have all kinds of problems with a simultaneous type situation.
From a practical standpoint, you're looking at, somebody said a minute ago, what, 350 cars a day and 2,100 people a day. Do you know the impact on Whittier? That's 14,000 people a week. There's 2,400 cars per week. I just don't believe those figures. I just don't. Secondly, it looks to me like something could be worked out if it was to study it long enough. For just a one-way deal through there, so that whenever, you know, you'd have to put lights or something there, so they go through and then this other traffic stops, and at least you're getting something done.
I think you have some traffic control.
You could have traffic control, but then again, what does it do, as you say, to the ballast, to the bed, to the drainage, to the...
I see.
Do you have drainage in there now, do you know?
They close doors on the end of the tunnel whenever a train, during the winter. The entire winter,
the doors are closed.
Except when a train comes because of that very problem. So there's apparently a pretty severe drainage problem. What would happen if you left them open is the ice would continue to build up and cover the tracks, and then the trains couldn't run, nothing could run. So the drainage system would have to be developed. And probably some sort of an air curtain to prevent that cold air coming through and freezing everything.
Randy?
Well, I have a question. On these two studies, they look like they're duplications.
They usually are.
Are they not?
I haven't been involved in them. I couldn't.
Are they not? They're duplications, right? So how much money, how much money we spent on this one from DOT? This one right here? That one's DOT's study.
Yes, I don't know.
And this one's the Senate Transportation Committee. How much would spend on that?
Probably could have looked at your tunnel for what the two of them cost.
No, so getting it around or over $100,000.
I mean, that's what it looks to me. It's like both of them are practically identical as far as the scope of work they're doing.
They still haven't identified the problem.
Same consultant?
No, okay, different consultants.
This says Whittier Transportation Options Study, and this is economic and feasibility, physical and economic feasibility.
We looked at them.
Well, if you look at it,
1982
and what's that? That's 81, that's 82. That's feasibility report, engineering reconnaissance, route selection, and that basically says the same thing. Let me just ask the DOT a question. Back east, there's a tunnel under the Hudson River and also the Chesapeake Bay area, and they charge tolls to get back and forth to go under the, either the bay or the rivers. Has DOT considered that option as far as funding the project?
No.
I mean, it hasn't.
But if we're talking 350 cars a day, I imagine the toll would be about $1,000 a car.
Well, but you can span it over for 100 years or 50 years at $3 a whack.
Depending on the cost of money.
I mean,
we're talking $100 million.
The other day said that the Kinnick Arm Crossing is going to take 15 years. At $2.50 a vehicle, and I asked him the question: after what happens after the end of 15 years? I'm sure you guys are gonna still collect. I mean, if you look, I haven't seen anything back east yet that once they paid for the project, they discontinued the toll.
Yeah, that assumes a cost of money of 6%, and it assumes considerably higher volume traffic.
Right, well, it's probably that 5%, but I just was wondering if they considered that option as far as financing.
Well, to get back to the resolution itself, resolution suggests a study.
Another.
And then to go, it also in the resolve clause talks about going into negotiation with the railroad for right of way and permit use. And I'd like to ask the committee what their desire is as far as this resolution is concerned with the attendant problems. Representative Booth?
Yeah, I'd like to see something in this resolution that takes it a little bit away from the word study to more of an action program as to the a finality of the study. Yeah. We could come up with another study like this and like this, we wouldn't be any further ahead than we have the two now. So, request to direct the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to study and, I don't know what to say, maybe recommend with cost factor. I don't know how to
commence
do it.
Commence first
to get.
Phase of.
Yeah, I commence. Excuse me, but I think I know what Representative Booth is getting at. And that is, let's stop studying the studies and study what we're going to get at.
There's another type of a study. There's another type of a, let's not call it a study. What would you call it?
I would say planning. If you were to direct us to perform final design, prepare bid documents, perform final estimates, negotiate and secure an agreement with the railroad, do the whole design, come back to you and say, I need this many dollars to implement that.
Yeah. Based on this alternative or this alternative, now you make up your minds how much you want to spend on this thing.
But what you're doing, I believe, is taking these options and you've selected one of them, and now you want to direct us to design the thing and get it bid ready and tell you exactly how much it's going to cost to do it and negotiate with the railroad.
Let me correct that statement. I don't feel that the committee.
Yeah.
I'm still talking.
Excuse me, sir.
Thank you. I don't think that this committee should be making the decision whether or not this design is better, that design is better, what design is better, because I don't think we have the expertise. We're not tunnelmen people. We're not road people. We're not railroad people. That is building. Building, I speak of. I think we've got to take a recommendation from the Department of Transportation, say, if we go this route, here are the problems, but here are the good portions of it. And this is how much this alternative is going to cost us in dollars and in cents. And here's another one. We recommend this one, A, B, C, or D, and then present it to us to get the money and to approve that particular way to go. But I don't think we ought to be saying, well, I think we don't need the ballast over here or the road bed to come up to here. That's not our job. You got to leave it in the hands of those people that are familiar with it.
Okay, Jack.
Well, along with that, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't, I think we should have a cost-benefit analysis in that study, and that along with obviously the social impacts, but we need to know, that Knick Arms study, they had a good cost-benefit analysis. And in our time now where we're having declining revenues, I think we're going to have to look more and more at that at all of our projects. And then, you know, really decide if it's going to cost $1,000 a car to get through there. You know, I know that was just a figure, but, do we really want to spend our money that way? I think that we'd be remiss if we didn't have a cost-benefit analysis on that.
Might I say, in as much as we're getting close to deadline time, but might I say that perhaps it would be wiser not to pass this out today and people come back with ideas to amend the... and actually what the amendment is take the word study out and put some positive direction in it. Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah, I'd agree. I just want to make sure that, I always get the fin of DOT wants to do a first-class job all the time. And I mean by first-class, if they visualized two new big holes in the side of the mountain there, they'd love to do it. I mean, they don't necessarily, I don't think, I get real frustrated on this issue because I tend to want to do it a real cheap, one-way routine, and I think you got the message, Dick, for me. At least that's what I feel like I'd like to see done. That's what Francis would like to see done. That's what maybe we'd like to see him direct.
In as much as we are discussing the resolution directs itself to paving and entered negotiations with the railroad that perhaps we should amend the resolution to come up with a design which would take care of the attendant problems of icing and all that sort of thing. Take them into the discussion. Mike?
Well, we still don't know which route we're going to do, whether we're going to do a one-way or whatever. So I think we're going to have to talk a little bit more about it before we come up with the design. But maybe instead of this to study, what maybe we should put in compile the studies.
Hell no.
Have them put all these different studies together rather than doing a whole new study for another $100,000.
We'll do that for you.
Buy
them all
together. I have to
do that for $100,000.
Yeah. Before Representative Abood speaks again, are we going to take on the problem in this committee of alternatives, or are we going to address House Concurrent Resolution Number 10, which specifically says paving and enter negotiation for right-of-ways? Representative Boothead.
Again, I'll go back to it, that I don't think at this point in time that we ought to be making language in here that is going to take one alternative over another. Because if you tell the Department of Transportation, look into this thing, come up with a design, so get it bid ready and so on paving it and one way of doing that, they're going ahead and do it, and they're going to spend a hell of a lot of money doing it, only to find out down the road that they really don't recommend it. There's another better way, DOT and their expertise, if you will, think it should go rather than that. In other words, they may say, well, gee, we got this big deal in front of us, and it costs us all this money to do this, and now we're not going to use it because we recommend you spend a little bit more money over here instead of putting a Band-Aid on it, and do it permanently if we're going to do it. So that's what I'm afraid of. But I don't want to see us do this just for another study. Now, if we can come up in our, quote, wisdom, unquote, and come up with something that's going to address the problem that we have within this deal, that's what I'd like to do. But I don't see, I couldn't pass it on like this. I wouldn't vote to pass this out.
All right. What is that, the consensus of the rest of the committee, Randy?
I still have a question. We got two studies here, and it's confusing as hell. You know, and obviously I hadn't had a chance to read them, but...
Then how can they be confusing?
Well, because I don't know which route DOT is recommending and which route...
Maybe we should read both of them.
This thing is...
Answer the questions.
You know? Well, I'm going to ask, what was the route that... in this resolution right here, is that the recommendation of DOT according to that study? That way.
I couldn't tell you. I did review these things. I'm aware of all the options, but I'm not too sure that they did a cost-benefit analysis to say this is the best alternative to pick. That could be done, and it, maybe it's in there, but I was looking good.
So that's what I want to try to establish, that, you know, like Mitch said, you guys are in the know as far as professionals are concerned, and that if that is a DOT study document, this is not. You guys, from my point of view, should, if you looked at it, should it have picked one alternative and say this is probably the route you want to go. But it, I don't know whether that's reflected in this resolution or not. That's where I'm getting at. That's where I'm getting confused.
I think probably we should ask the co-sponsor, did the, Mr. Szymanski, did you consult with DOT as to the alternative other than paving?
No. I was aware of the studies and reviewed them. Representative Prince had not reviewed the studies. When I had finished reviewing the studies, I couldn't find a clear conclusion being made anywhere in them where anybody said, this is the best route to go. I mean, they threw the routes going over the mountains to the going to Bear Cove or Bear Valley, and that option going around that end, going through both tunnels, new tunnels, upgrading, widening, everything. No precise alternative, because they were throwing out all kinds of different variables on it. And that's one of the reasons, after reviewing them, I came to the frustrating position of saying, hey, wait a second. All these look real good. I came to the same conclusion that they were looking for the most optimistic position possible. And I was looking, and I don't say optimistic, but the most
expensive
option possible rather than the cheapest option possible. So somehow I was trying to say, let's look at the cheapest way to do this thing, which is going to take care of that little old community over there. And that's where
I'm a little out of focus when we say that little old community over there, because basically the reason for the Whittier Access is not for Whittier. Right. It is to transport people from Anchorage to take their boats down, and let's not fuzz around with it. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, in that case, let's just leave it the way it is.
Except for,
well, Madam Chairman, I know if you leave it up to Transportation, with no reflection, Mr. Bishop, but if you leave it up to Department of Transportation, they'll have the Holland Tunnel running to Seattle.
I can agree with that.
Whittier.
Do it right.
We'll do it right.
But I'm willing to work on this and get a substitute.
I wish Wasilla was the entire state.
I wish it was too.
I'll work on a substitute for this.
I think that's probably what we need to do, is hold the bill and then come in with some amendments or some substitutes with some definite direction to DOT, because just to tell them to study it again, then we end up again with another document that sometimes they don't know what's in it.
You gonna be in town, Dick?
I'm sure.
Oh,
I'll spend
the rest of the day today.
Rest of the day?
You can.
Well, I was in meetings all day, Mike, but I'll try to get to you sometime.
Madam Chairman,
what time do you leave at 5:30?
Mike, you know, I'm looking at this thing. You wanted some conclusions, at least this one on the Senate Transportation Committee. They, recommendations resulting from the study of the feasibility highway link between Forge Glacier Highway and Whittier are as follows. One, appropriate funds for design, construction, and operation of electrified rail shuttle between Bear Valley and West Campus described in this report. Two, amend ES 2310-420 to permit operation of electrified shuttle trains with a smaller crew. Obviously, that's a different recommendation than what's in here.
That's what I thought of without
okay.
studying.
I think, you know, as you mentioned that, Randy, that document does say if you want the least expensive short-term fix,
that's right.
It would be to increase railroad shuttle service, and I believe they also suggested building a road to Bear Valley so that it'd be a shorter shuttle.
Well, I think all of us are after, you know, accessibility in the way, one way or the other. And at least I'm trying to determine how do we do it. I don't want to spend any more money on studies. I mean, we've got two right here, and I imagine this one at least is over 100,000. That was probably as much. And between these two documents, we got to find something that.
Well, Betty hit it on the head, though. You're touching on what is strictly an access answer.
Right.
And Coletta even appropriated, I think, some money one time to a shuttle wagon run back in response to that. But then it turned out that what Betty said was exactly correct.
Well,
that people want to drag their boats back and forth in and out of there on the weekends.
They can do that on the train.
Yeah. For $20.
That would be the cheapest, quickest, immediate solution would be to increase rail service, and you have access subsidize that as opposed to a capital proposition, because as you get into it, we realize that there are some real technical problems with, you know, the ventilation, lighting, drainage, and that sort of thing. That's going to cost big dollars.
And if the railroad would cooperate, they could take their boats down on Friday night and take them back on Sunday, which is what many of them want to do because there is no space in the harbor. I would suggest that we hold this for future hearing, and Mike, if you want to come up with some amendments to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll try to come up with
okay. Meeting adjourned.
Betty?